Today is April 11th, 2016. This is the October 2015 cohort, Coach the Coach 3, Class 4, Group B with Chris Brandt. Okay. So I don't know who it was that said they were interested in hearing these tools used. Who was it?
That was Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. So, hi, Karen. Karen just jumped on the call, too.
Hi.
So what we were just discussing was, you know, getting into how these tools are used or being curious to hear how these tools are used. So that gives me sort of a lovely segue into what I wanted to say about all of that. So I'll just dive right into it, and then we'll talk about some more questions and how your tools are going and all that. So first, a lot of this will be really helpful. A lot of your questions will get answered, Cindy, if you listened to the panel recording. Did you happen to get to
see
that?
I did.
Okay.
It isn't so much that I have a real good idea how I would use the tool. I just haven't used it. I haven't had the opportunity. So I'm really anxious to see how it's used today. Because, listening to the recording was great, and there are a couple of clients I'm working with that are trying to or interested in making changes in their careers or their lives, and I think that these two tools are absolutely would be front and center in a situation like that. So I would really love to see them in action, see how people use them.
Cool. All righty then. So before I go on, if somebody's rummaging around in their drawers looking for a knife to cut their sandwich, just mute yourself out by hitting 4-star. I've muted a couple of you because I noticed that there was noise coming through on the line. Not sure I got the noise muted, but it sounds like I did. So if I did mute you and you heard that going on in your ear, just hit 4-star to unmute yourself when and if you're ready to ask a question or make a contribution verbally. So with all that said, and before we dive into these tools, just want to give you the opportunity to ask questions or to tell me about your experience practicing the tools so far with Coach to Coach 3, any questions you have about them, and that'll also give me a chance to take a sip of water. So let me know if you've got a question or a comment about how it's going.
It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Are you done sipping your water?
That was perfect timing, yes.
I just wanted to follow up on what Cindy was asking and just say about the recording. I was thrilled with that recording because if you remember my Calgon take me away moment from last week, that recording just clicked for me and it put everything in perspective. It was like if I had heard that before last week, I definitely wouldn't have felt the need to post that because what it showed me was a couple of things that I just haven't quite had enough coaching experience to feel in practice, which is things just present themselves as an obvious next thing, like if somebody does mention a dream, you know, so there are some things where the tool will present itself, and I really heard that in the recording. And then there's the way that certain tools really do seem to connect. So, you know, the idea of turtle steps or the three B's, I suddenly saw how it's not even like so much a decision you have to make as often a very organic next thing to do. So I felt reassured that a lot of it will come clear in the coaching, and then I also got some really great ideas. That discussion was so good about really some different ways that people could go about it and still have it turn out pretty great.
Good. I'm glad your Calgon moment has ceased to exist.
It's dissipated,
It has been tempered quite a bit, let's hope. Yeah, and, you know, it really wouldn't have made sense to give you that recording too early.
Uh-huh,
and it was so funny. I mean, I have such a different perspective because I've watched you guys since you started your training back in October. And I'm seeing the difference in you. And I think I might have mentioned this at the beginning of Coach to Coach 3. I love watching how people progress through the training. I usually end up subbing somewhere along the line for, you know, in the earlier Coach the Coaches, or I hear you guys in other settings. And to hear the progress that you make and how much more organic, to use your word, things become as you go through the training and as you keep practicing, that I have total faith that those Calgon, take me away, I have no idea what to do, moments will lessen. And I won't say that they always go away completely. I still have them once in a while going, crap, I'm not sure I know what to do right now. Well, and just acknowledging that and allowing myself to notice that I'm feeling a little panicked means I've just stepped away from my essential self.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten into, you know, sort of a lizardy moment or a moment where my brain is taking over as opposed to my heart, my soul, my presence. And usually just acknowledging that helps me sort of click back in where I need to be. And
mm-hmm.
I think the more you allow yourself to get into those moments where it's like, oh, I don't know what to do, the more you realize, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes. Oh, it's just a momentary blip. It's not a forever thing. It's just in this second, in these 4 seconds, in these 8 seconds, which, yes, can feel interminably long sometimes. I might just have a little blip, and that's okay. That's okay. That's, you know, kind of if you think about what we talked about in that recording about square three, like Michael talked about time and space, and, you know, he said, you know, he might have said it more delicately, but, you know, the expression is this shit's getting real. You know, that's what's going on here, right? It's getting real as you're starting to have longer sessions or you're not artificially just practicing a tool or you're meeting with real people with real issues. You've got situations where you're going, oh, I don't know. And yet, when you allow it to be real, yeah, it's a little more bumpy and all that stuff. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
as Square 3's motto is, this is harder than I thought it would be. And that's okay.
You know, that was the other thing that the panel really brought out was remembering where you are in the actual relationship with the client. So sort of the time and space of the coaching itself too, right?
Yeah.
So I had sort of forgotten about that part, which is when it's a very either a new client or the new surfacing of an issue, there are different priorities in terms of the tools than when a relationship is really established or a problem has been a puzzle cracked for a while, you know. And I really, the examples were so helpful because I was able to really see the difference in the types of situations and realize again that you would know more want to go one way at an early point than you might later on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Congratulations on all those moments, Karen.
Yeah.
Anybody else,
I'm
how's
good.
It going with your Coach the Coach 3 tools and the things you've learned so far? Any questions about them, observations you want to share about your practice as you go through it?
Just that the homework that you had given me last time really did go great in terms of integrating with the clients I had already gained, but not through life coaching, you know, the narrower sort of PhD coaching I was doing. And I began to bring in with two clients the work and looking at some thoughts that were really causing them a lot of suffering and pain about how they'll never, you know, they'll never find anything worth doing after, you know, the current situation they're in. And that was really powerful and great. And it was just me not having seen how to bring this work into the prior work I was doing. So I'm starting to integrate more of that, and that's really exciting. And then I think I will, through this new business, you know, practice as we go forward with the class, I will think about how to start, you know, my own coaching shingle that's more clear about how this can be life coaching and not just career coaching in a narrower way.
Great. Great, great, great.
Hi, this is Cindy again. I have a question.
Yeah.
Last week was the first class I've ever missed live. And I'm feeling, and I don't know if it's because of what's been going on in my life in the last week, but I'm feeling very disconnected and far away. And I was wondering if anybody could offer any suggestions on what I might do to feel back in the space.
I'm going to ask the group first.
Can I actually just, sorry, this is Amara. Can I just interject because last week was also the first week that I've ever missed, and I actually feel the same way as Cindy.
Okay. You know what I feel like? I feel like, you know, when you've been absent in school, I remember this in high school very specifically, and there was something that was learned while you weren't there, and you never were able to hold on to it. That's what it feels like to me. And I know that, I mean, I had a tough week last week, and I know that probably some of what I'm feeling is sort of holdover from that. But, yeah. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Zemarit, because I don't feel so alone. But,
Cindy, this is Jen.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the same way. And I was on the call last week. Not necessarily, I wasn't 100% like engaged. Normally I speak up and I say things, and I don't think I did it last week. So I feel a similar way. Like, I just feel like I need to go re-listen to it, and I'm not sure what to do other than re-listen to the class. So I could use the help, too.
Okay.
This is Jody, and I'm feeling the same way.
okay.
And the picture in my for me, and I was I've been on the calls, but I'm a bit behind in the homework, so that I feel like that's part of it. It feels like a whole bunch of pieces, and I'm having a hard time putting them all together in a flow. Or I was thinking maybe I need to make a mind map or something. It's starting to just feel like a lot of tools and a lot of pieces. And yeah, same.
This is Lisa, and I feel the same way. And I feel like it's not maybe I go back to other classes that I might have missed and thinking that might be the culprit, and that's why I'm feeling this way. But I also had a thought that we might be exactly in that square three of the hero's journey, where it's kind of getting tough right now. And whether we made the decisions that we want to be coaches or not, it's kind of like hitting the fan or whatever the expression is, and it's all coming together, and I think the anxiety and the responsibility of meeting kind of our benchmarks, I just feel this responsibility there. When I'm reading about square three, it kind of felt, wait, is this whole coaching journey been very much following one, two, and three? And is there a parallel there? And it's not a square one feeling, but it's more of like the honors task of now really moving forward.
Anybody else? I love, love, love what all of you have said. And I'm so glad that, Cindy, you were brave enough to say it and claim what you needed and claim what was going on for you. That is the absolute modeling of TAO, and that is living it to give it. So thank you for that, and to everyone else who spoke. I have a couple of thoughts on this, a couple of sort of hits hit me while I was listening in. And I think, Lisa, you just gave me a really beautiful segue, and you were talking about the hero's journey, and I said earlier I referenced the recording, the panel discussion recording that was, you know, part of listening for in preparation for today. And this is where stuff starts to get real. And in some ways, you know, you've had two coach the coach practicums, which were very, very, very focused on what seemed like not all that much, although at the time it felt like a lot to you guys, right? The first coach the coach is really all about the five whys, hat, tell me where I'm wrong, say more, learning how to listen for and begin to understand the basic coaching framework, you know, what are the circumstances, what are the thoughts, what are the feelings, what's the behavior that the client is telling me about or exhibiting. And then you moved into thought work, whether it was the ACT tools, you know, truth questions from the Joy Diet, the work, but it was very sort of specific around figuring out, helping the client figure out what is the painful thinking that's creating the upset, the stress, the discomfort and dissatisfaction. And, you know, we put all that together, and I've said this before, but it bears saying again, that we focus so much time on those particular things, that little chunk of access stuff, you know, how do you get deeper into what's going on with a client so you can get to the thinking, and then spent four classes just on working on thinking, and now you come into Coach the Coach 3, which starts to model squares 2 and 3, and you've got, wham, the speed just goes up, right? Every week's been at least one new tool, if not two, dream analysis, metaphor, living space, now wigs. They're all where you start to help a client move into square 2 or square 3. And, yeah, that's where it starts to feel very uncertain. It's where it starts to feel, you know, in square 2, there's still, you know, Michael put it so beautifully when he said there's not so much focus on time and space. It's almost like that's suspended so you can dream. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with regard to wigs. And in square 3, it's where you start applying the stuff. You start taking steps to, taking steps and figuring out what works and figuring out what doesn't work and adjusting your expectations and realizing, you know, as Michael put it so beautifully also, this or something better is going to happen. And, oh, crap, that isn't working out the way I thought it would. You know, this is a lot harder than I thought it would, and that's okay. That's square 3. Doesn't mean you won't get through it. Part of accepting the hero's call, you know, the call to the journey, is to put it the way, I think it was Lisa who said this, the responsibility of that journey. And it can feel really heavy, but it's not. It's just, oh, I'm committing to do this because I love it enough that I want to keep seeing it through. And maybe I'm going to have to adjust my pace, or I'm going to have to move in a slightly different direction, or, and, you know, that translates into adjusting my pace in terms of when and how often I get to listen to calls or practice with a client or, you know, anything else related to the mechanics of studying and listening and coaching and practicing associated with this program. But it's about, oh, now I can start to figure out what this feels like, and I need to trust that the pieces are all being put together. And I think it was Jody who said that about, you know, I'm having trouble figuring out how to put all the pieces together. But if it wasn't Jody, I'm sure it was somebody else, and probably more than one of you feels that way. And so what I will remind you of is that you've been building and you've been putting pieces together all this way, and it may not feel like it yet. And in, oh, a couple months probably, if not sooner or if not later, at your pace, those pieces will start to feel a lot more put together than they do in this moment. So what I want to reassure you is the second part of the mantra in all four squares of the change cycle is, that's okay. It is absolutely okay that you're feeling this way. It would be wrong if you didn't. And if you're not feeling that way, it's not wrong that you feel that way. There is no wrong, really. It's okay wherever you are in this journey. I love that you're feeling a little disconnected from the materials or from the class or from the tools or, oh, my gosh, I was absent and I feel like I missed so much. Good to know. Good to know. And that doesn't mean don't be absent or that you did something wrong because you couldn't come to class. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's just like, oh, good. So now I know what it feels like when I miss something that I love or that I really aspire to do or be. All information. It's all giving you insights into your own awareness, into your own selves, and that just makes you that much better a witness and a coach for your clients. So I want to just honor and respect this circle of coaches. Imagine ourselves sitting in a circle, shoulder to shoulder, with our feet towards the center of the circle. The sides of our feet are touching the sides of the feet next to each other. And there's a fire in the middle, a little fire warming our toes. We're all together. We're in this circle because of a mutual love for all things related to coaching and figuring out how we can coach ourselves and help coach the world. This circle is sacred. This circle is beautiful. And sometimes when you step out of a circle, it feels kind of awkward. So we just invite you to slide back in, shimmy those hips next to the person next to you, bump shoulders with them, wiggle a little, and feel that support next to you on either side of you. Wiggle your feet and just feel the sides of mine or someone else's feet. Settle your butts into the ground. Shimmy around a little bit. And trust that that fire will keep you warm. And it'll always be there. Whether you have to step away or not, there'll always be room in the circle for you to come on back in. And you'll be welcomed when you get here. Okay. Before we move on, I just want to check in one more time. How else can I help? What else might you need? If you know.
Thank you for just doing that. That was really helpful for me. That's
okay.
This is Cindy.
You're welcome. Just sit with whatever's feeling, whatever's going on in your body, both sensation-wise and emotion-wise. You're exactly where you're meant to be in the circle. Materials will be there, will be there. There'll be ways for you to ask questions and get more information if that's what feels like it's missing. It's all here for you. Okay? All right. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about wildly improbable goals, and hopefully you got a chance to watch Martha's video and read up on some of the stuff that was in your binder and all that good stuff. But wigs are just delicious. They're just so much fun to talk with clients about when they're ready to talk about them with you. It's a way for them to start hoping again and to start imagining, and it's square too, and then it can segue into all sorts of other things. But really, what a wig is at its core is, as you know, a wildly improbable goal. Martha talked about some stuff about skiing and about traveling to Europe, and she mentioned a couple of, you know, what in hindsight feel really small, but at the time were really huge for her, goals. And so when you're talking about wigs with your clients, it's really about letting them have big ideas. Small moves, not so much activity there yet, as it's just about pulling things out and allowing them to dream. Helping them talk about things they love to do. You know, Martha, in Finding Your North Star, Martha talks about the beloved activity. And so, actually, I'm going to pull the book open because I happen to have it nearby. There's a page, it's on page 304 in the paperback version of the book. And there's an exercise called Making Your Own Wigs. And on page 305, she talks about just some examples. And she wrote one that says, exploring the internet is a beloved activity, and the wildly improbable goal is starting her own .com. There's one about jogging, and then a wildly improbable goal is finishing a marathon. And there are all sorts of different examples there, and you can read them all on your own. But the idea is to just start talking with your clients about, what do they love to do? What are some of the things that make them so excited? It might be watching the Food Network. It might be cooking meals for their friends. It might be playing with animals. You know, it could be any number of things. But it's just about helping to tease out what they love and seeing if they have any, you know, kind of dreams around it. There's another great tool that also supports this, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it today, but you can also find it in Finding Your Own North Star, and it's on page, let me see, I have it tagged here. It's on page 296 in Finding Your Own North Star. Again, the paperback version if you have that one. And it's called Whizzing on the Electric Fence. And there are just a bunch of ways to prompt a client's imagination, you know, getting them, you know, if they feel sort of stuck, it's about, you know, things like, if I didn't care what people thought, I would, and they finish the sentence, if I had the freedom, I would, if I was sure that I wouldn't fail, I would. You know, you've all heard questions like that. They're always motivational posters and stickers and things flying around on Facebook around that. But it's about, you know, if all the barriers were eliminated, in other words, what would I do? And that's a great place to just start with a client. And, you know, you may meet a lot of objection. Oh, that couldn't possibly ever happen. But that's not the point. The point right now is, well, let's just imagine it. Let's just imagine what it could be to feel. And you'll notice the way I'm describing this, you guys, that I'm starting to integrate a couple of different tools. And we mentioned that on the Square 3 panel discussion recording. So, you know, when you've got a client that's starting to describe their wig, they're starting to say, oh, I would love to open my own bakery. I had a client who really wanted to open her own bakery. She loved baking, and she just kept talking about what it would feel like to hear the bell on the door and people walk in and have them smell the smells and be so excited about what she had to offer for sale. She could feel that feeling in her body, in her toes. When we talked a lot about that feeling, what is that feeling? It's that feeling of nurturing. It's that feeling of pride in something. It's that feeling of sharing something that she loved. It was a feeling of joy watching people delight in something she'd created. And that was what she was after. Notice how this is about find the feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so she didn't necessarily have to have the bakery. She could bake for her kids. She could bake for her friends. And she'd been doing that, so that's why she started to move towards it. But it really was about what is the feeling she wanted to have. And for her, some of it was the physical feeling of mixing batter, of stirring things up, ingredients that she could watch turn into something delicious to look at and delicious to smell and delicious to taste, and that it was something that she could offer to people from her heart. And so that was the form her creativity took, you know, as she started to dream and scheme and started to talk about a wig. And this was a woman who was single, who was having a hard time making the rent, who, you know, wanted to imagine creating a bakery and how was she ever going to get a loan and how was she this and how was she that. So we're not going to worry about any of that right now. Let's just talk about those feelings. And from that feeling state, let's take one little step. I'm going to bake some muffins, and I'm going to give them to my friends. That was her turtle step. That was just, you know, that was just one little thing. And from there, many, many more came. But the idea was, what is it that you're really after? And from that feeling state, from that place of appreciation, of joy, of pride, of all those things, act from that state as opposed to acting from, oh, my God, I want this so badly, and what's going to – and I've just got to make this happen. I've got to – like all that push went away, and it was just about joy. So – what I'd love for you guys to do during a coaching scenario or two today is to just play with, and this goes back to, I think it was Cindy's question initially. I don't remember whose question it was, but you'll identify yourself, I'm sure, was how do you put all these pieces together, or how do they all work? You're curious to hear how they might happen. I don't know how they're going to happen. It's not like I know the exact order in which they're going to happen, because this is where it starts to get really organic, kind of like it did with dream analysis, kind of like it did with metaphor tool, kind of like it did with living space. Here again, it's a little more present in the moment. Let's just see how things want to unfold. So I know Robin said she wanted to coach, and I think Zamrit said she wanted to be coached. So how would you feel about pairing up in that way, you two?
That works for me. It's the merit.
Okay, the merit.
Can you guys hear me?
Okay for you, Robin? I heard somebody say, can you guys hear me? I don't know who that was.
Okay, guys, I'm having trouble. It's Robin.
Hi, Robin.
I'm having trouble with unmuting and muting.
You're good now.
Yes, excellent.
All right.
Okay.
So, Robin, you're going to coach the merit. And let's see if we can, you know, do it in about 20, 25 minutes. I'll give you a little warning around time because I'd like to try and get a second session in today as well. All right?
That's awesome.
I'm here if you need
That's
me.
Great. Thank you. Hey, Zamarit.
Hi.
Hi there. Are you ready to have some fun?
Sure.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah, of course.
I want you to focus your attention inward on an activity that you absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a creative outlet or exercise, a hobby, work, anything that brings you joy. And I want you to sit with it. And when you're ready, I ask that you let me know what it is.
For me, one of the things I love more than anything is hiking.
Yay. Excellent. And now I want you to imagine that you can push hiking to the very, very edge, where anything is possible, where you don't care what others think, and where you're not worried about the outcome. And I want you to sit with that. And when you're ready, just let me know what you think it is.
Sorry, can you clarify what it is you want me to do? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So the idea of hiking,
mm-hmm.
you could do anything with hiking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if I could do anything with hiking?
Yes.
I would.
Worry about the outcome or anything.
I would be hiking in California every weekend.
Where do you live right now?
In Toronto.
Fly there every weekend, right?
Yeah.
How does it feel to think that you could hike in California every weekend?
It feels amazing to imagine that. It feels very freeing, and it feels really nourishing, and it just feels really playful and fun.
Let me ask you, is there anywhere that you can hike in Toronto that would make you feel like this? The feeling of being free, nourished, and playful.
The thing is, not at the moment, just because it's still really gray here. And I guess for me, the hiking, it encompasses so many things when I associate it in California, because it has the sun. I imagine the view, being able to see the ocean. The weather is really pleasant and mild and comfortable. So trying to think of a place like that in Toronto that is appealing or that draws me. If there is one, I just haven't found it yet.
Okay. Let's see if we can get you to California.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Let's get you to California, right?
That would be great.
What would it take? Little nose. What would it take to get you to California to go for a hike? What would you have to do?
Well, I try to go there as often as I can. I've managed to spend 3 out of the past 5 or 6 winters there, and I was just there a few weeks ago for a week. But that's kind of where I'm stuck, is trying to figure out how to make that more of a full-time thing.
What are some steps that you can do to maybe get you going in that direction? What's one?
I've done some research just on accommodations, real estate, and rentals, just to kind of see what areas would be feasible. But then I always get kind of stuck on the idea. Well, first of all, I'm Canadian, so then I get kind of bogged down with all the other complications of visas, and I also have a business here that I've had for 18 years that does well, and so it's just a lot of, feels like a lot of sacrifice, and yet at the same time, when I'm there, I never feel better than when I'm there. So I typically only see the obstacles when I'm here. And when I'm there, all those obstacles don't seem like they're big enough. But from here, other than kind of starting to see what makes sense financially, how to make it work, as far as including the dollars now, there's a big difference in the exchange. So I just, I'm kind of a bit stuck really on where to start, whether I should start with what would I do with my business, or can I afford to do this, or is this just crazy, or why can't I just go there for the winter, and why isn't that enough? So I think
What seems to be the biggest thing for you, the biggest hang up?
I think it's leaving something so secure and established for a lifestyle change, really.
And is that mostly to do with your business, or is that people around you? What would you say is most important?
Sorry, did you say, is it just the business or the people around me, did you say?
Yeah, if you had to think about what leaving something secure for a lifestyle, for another lifestyle, what would be the big, would it be your business, or would it be leaving people there?
Mm.
You know, your friends around you, your family.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the...
Yeah, I think it would be, the friends and family wouldn't be, because actually one of my brothers lives in California, and I kind of have friends all over now at this point, and I feel like I'm not worried about that part, but I think it's just, I've definitely, at least business-wise, established pretty deep roots here where, even though, of course, now with the coaching as well, I'm trying to figure out what exactly does I want to do. I think there's just a lot of stuff going on at the same time, but I would say it's the business. I think it's a matter of trying to figure out how I could actually work, maintain my business here, but do the work from there. And could that actually work?
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's only been a week. I mean, I am kind of slowly now trying to implement things because, of course, there's also the time difference. I work in film, and so part of the thing is I have to be on the same schedule as the filming that's going on here. And so if I'm in California and they're filming at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm like, I don't want to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning dealing with calls. And so this week I did just have, for the first time, an assistant start, which is kind of my way of trying to see whether I can have that support and delegate the work, and whether I would feel comfortable doing it that way. So that's a step I've taken. It's literally just been a week. But just trying to figure out how to establish something so that I can have my business, so I don't have to give up either. So I can live where I want to live and maintain the business that I have.
How did the first step with the assistant feel? Like, how is that gone? Like, how did it make you feel to have someone helping you? Does it feel good?
It feels amazing because, again, there's the support, and it just feels good to not have all the responsibility and to be able to delegate. So, that feels great to know that that I don't have to do everything myself, and I can hand off some of the work, and that my business doesn't have to necessarily stop just because I'm not available 24 hours a day.
Is there anything else? I know you're working on with the assistant. Is there anything else that you can do to also make the transition? It seems like that's going great.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a week, but so far it is. It's really good. is there anything else that I could do?
Just like little baby steps.
Yeah. I don't know offhand. What else could I do? Hmm.
Because it sounds like if you can have some time free, then you'd be able to do the other things that you need to do.
Well, I think the thing is it's only – this has just happened, so I'm just now starting to have the free time, which is why I think it's the kind of ideas coming – it's always there. I know that it's in the back of my mind that that's kind of what I'm striving for long term. But now it feels like there's a bit of momentum because I'm actually seeing the possibility of, oh, okay, I don't have to be here all the time. I could actually maybe have somebody here to deal with at least the time difference. Like at least that could kind of maybe close the gap in on that one particular issue that I was worried about. And then as far as the visa and stuff like that, I think I have to start doing a bit of research realistically because I think a lot of it is the unknown as far as how I could even be there full time.
What could you do to start looking into that area, like little tiny steps? Look into the visa.
I mean, I probably need to speak to a lawyer, an immigration lawyer, and an accountant, realistically. I really need to be a little bit more informed about what that means so that I can know whether the things that I'm worried about are even real fears.
Do you know an immigration lawyer or an accountant? You could talk to her.
No. I know lawyers, but not immigration lawyers. Nope. So I would have to find some.
So that's something you can maybe do. Do some digging to find an immigration lawyer and accountant.
Yeah, accountant specializes in the U.S. Canadian kind of those kind of specific cases. Yeah, I mean, that really is something that I need to do because I think once I have actual information, because I have a tendency to just go and stay there for the winter instead of doing the research first, and I figure that will all come together. But I've been doing that now for years, and I'm finding it more and more difficult to come back.
Do you think it's – because I'm wondering, too, if it would be something where you could contact a real estate person, realtor, maybe walk you through some properties too.
Yeah.
When the next time you visit or make a phone call.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good idea because I've never done that when I've been there. I've never taken the time to go around with somebody, and that actually probably would also give me an opportunity to ask some questions instead of just what I'm seeing on the search results. So, yeah, no, I would definitely add that for the next time I visit as a really good idea to actually make an appointment with somebody and have them show me some places.
Is there anything else you can think about? You get your business, a realtor.
I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good foundation. I mean, the real estate thing would probably happen more so, I think, when I'm there. But right now, as far as kind of starting the process, I think that getting the facts, even though I have a tendency to not really enjoy research, which is probably why I've procrastinated on that part, maybe just kind of doing that, just finding the names of lawyers first.
Yes.
Like before I even do anything and just compiling a list, maybe that's a small enough step that I will do that. And then from there, I guess the next step would be deciding who to actually contact. Or maybe even just actually sending out an email to my friends and saying, does anybody know of a good immigration lawyer or a good accountant that deals with this kind of stuff? And maybe getting a referral.
Absolutely. Perfect.
So that actually would be great. Yeah.
It feels good?
Yeah, I could totally do that.
And on the realtor side, do you have friends or your brother there that maybe could help you also?
My boyfriend is a real estate agent. so you mean in California or here?
California.
Oh, in California. I mean, I know enough people here that have contacts there that it wouldn't be a difficult thing to come up with. That one's easier to me. And because I like real estate, I've always been interested in it, so that part actually would be fun. So I don't think I would need a lot of motivation to do that next time I come. I just hadn't thought of the idea before, so that the idea itself is very helpful and would be easy to implement. It's the other one that that I think I've kind of dragged my heels on a bit.
And is there anything else, like on the business side, that would kind of help you, other than the lawyer and the accountant, is there anything else that would help you kind of be able to move forward with this? Anything that seems to be you're not comfortable with it?
Yeah, you know, I never, even though all the projects I work on are actually American, and the people that I work with come from LA, I don't think I've actually ever told anybody that I would like to be there. Yeah. Now that I think about it, I never have actually. So I work with all the directors and producers, and I've never said to anybody, "Oh, you know what? I would actually love to live in California."
What if you sent that feeler out? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think what would feel most kind of organic or easy for me would just be to do one-on-one when I'm speaking to somebody. Like, that's something I wouldn't send out in an email because I think I would be nervous. My fear is, of course, that I don't want to send out the impression that I'm not here, whether physically or mentally, or that I'm, you know, leaving my business. But I would like to – but I think it would be something I could definitely start mentioning it one-on-one for sure.
And it's amazing when those things happen, what comes to you, you know, by throwing out those feelers.
I like and how – it would, yeah, and it would seem like a really obvious thing to be discussing it with those people, but for some reason I just never have, ever, I don't think. That's just something I kind of keep, I think of it as separate from my business. This is a separate thing, and maybe it's that separation that's causing me to not be able to make the connection.
Do you have a chance to do that? You have the opportunity to see someone that you could talk anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm working on, for sure. I mean, I've got projects now, so absolutely. It's there are people that are always, that I'm always in touch with and communicating with, that, but it's always just business and stuff. And but, yeah, for sure there are.
Ah, love it. And is there anything else as far as with the business that kind of feels you can think of?
I mean, that feels like a really good manageable step that feels exciting without feeling like it's going to be, it feels easy and it feels, and I'm motivated to do it because it feels manageable.
Yay. I love it. And then in the meantime, I wonder, until you get to California, if there's something that you can find locally that could give you the same feeling of the free nourishing, playful feel. Because you said what's the temperature? I mean, is it going to be warm there pretty soon, or?
Well, this is
weather's
changing. we're having a bit of a cold spell still. It's been like a cold spell for 4 months, but it will start to warm up. And, you know, and that is some, and it's amazing. I can, even when the sun peeks through a little bit, I mean, I can feel such a difference. I mean, as far as hikes, I really, that's a bit of a tricky thing here, but I do walk my dog, which on the Sunday can definitely help. And, and as far as
get a little fit,
being playful and nourished. Yeah, I mean, I have a – sometimes I jump around on a trampoline, a little mini trampoline that helps too, just to kind of – to feel kind of, you know, the oxygen moving and feel kind of freed. Like, and so that helps too. I just have to really kind of work, I guess, on recognizing the feeling that I'm going for and trying to incorporate activities instead of just telling myself it's hiking California or nothing, which is pretty much what I've told myself. Like, nothing compares, and so nothing's going to feel as good. And I think that probably hurts me. Well, it does. It hurts me much more than if I – maybe I can't find something that's as amazing, but I probably need to make a little more effort in thinking about activities that give me some of that, give me a taste of it.
Love it. That sounds awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
Chris, do I need to do anything else? Do you want me to?
I think you did a beautiful job. And I think, you know, your client really also kind of told you, as our clients usually will, when enough was enough.
Yes.
She didn't say it that way, right? But she said, this feels doable, you know, and I almost felt a parenthetical, but Zamara, you'll tell me where I'm wrong, of I think if we go any further than this, this might feel like too much, and I don't want to ruin a good thing. Did you experience that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was feeling good, and I was, yes, exactly. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, there was just, that's wonderful.
And it seemed like, but it seemed like when she broke it down, when it was just the business, like that was enough to talk about, to instead of going into another area. That, you know what I mean? It just seemed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like she just wanted to do that when that was it, which is the biggest piece. That seemed to be the biggest piece for her.
And yet, if you look back at what you managed to talk about, you talked about the business in the sense of the immigration lawyer and the accountant, and then there was a little realtor discussion going on, and then there was, oh, my gosh, I could actually tell someone that I might be interested, kind of sort of maybe, you know, include many qualifiers here, that I could entertain maybe sort of the possibility of kind of eventually going to California. And it was this delicious little moment where the two of you just had, you know, back to, I think it was Cindy's words, an organic conversation that led to maybe a little more than the client would have been willing to do on her own, and maybe she's not going to take every one of those steps, and that's okay. Because what you guys did was just allow for the possibility that this feeling is A, possible in Toronto, B, that this feeling is something that she should trust because she has it a lot. You know, hint, she told us that she's been doing this for years in California. And every time it's harder for her to come back. Right? Those are, you know, and if you remember Martha's ranch at the end of the Wigs video, Martha talks about the ranch and how she'd had this dream and there was this ranch in it, and oh my God, how the heck's that going to happen? And she describes the story of how she's sitting on the setting where she's filming the video, which is the ranch that she saw in her dream. And it happened, you know, in spurts, and it happened in all sorts of different ways. And she met with realtors and looked at other stuff, even though she knew they weren't the ranch because she already had such a clear picture of what it was. But all of that describes the hero saga, too, as we step forward and attempt through various steps to make our wigs highly probable as opposed to highly improbable, you know, wildly improbable. So all of that was what was coming. And I don't know if the rest of you felt it, but when I was listening to Zamara, I felt like her energy was getting more passionate, excited.
Yes.
You know, like there was a, oh, I hadn't really thought, I could do that. And I don't know, did anyone else pick up on that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
And
how about you,
especially
Zamara?
When
did you pick up on that?
I'm sorry, you're saying it to Zamara? Is that what you said? Oh,
yes. Did you catch any of that for yourself?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I found myself being less resistant to the idea that it was improbable and starting to see it as much more probable, for sure.
Great. I love that.
This is Cindy. I thought it was really interesting that, Zamara, you had never had that conversation with anybody you work with out in California.
I know. It is. It almost seems ridiculous, but I think, especially since I've been doing it for such a long time, but I think I've just always been very private, and I've always kept my business and my private very separate, my personal life very separate, and I guess it always felt like somehow that was maybe crossing a bit of a line, but maybe there's a time to, maybe it's time to change that, and maybe that hasn't been serving me the way I thought it was.
Yeah.
And what was interesting,
was
you guys,
cool.
I love that point. You know what I think is so much fun here, too? It's like, I work in film, but I don't know how I'm going to ever have a business moving to California.
I know. Exactly.
But, you know, when you think of California, maybe occasionally you might kind of sort of think about film. you know,
right, of course.
Yes, I know all the pragmatic reasons, and you know, I'm being playful with you. I don't mean to mock you, but it's just, you know, it's so cute how we compartmentalize our lives sometimes, and we have this idea of where we think things are supposed to go, and just by allowing yourself to feel a feeling of, as you put it, nourishing and freeing and playful and fun. And, you know, Robin so beautifully asking you questions around that and saying, so let's just take one little step. You know, all mm-hmm. that momentum was created. Mm-hmm. And so, Robin, you asked a question at the end about, you know, is this where I should stop or is there something I should do? And I think if you were, you know, if you were talking to Zamarin on the phone and none of us were listening and you were having a regular coaching call, maybe there would have been something like, okay, so do you want some accountability around this? Do you want to, you know, make any promises here that you'll do one of these steps before our next meeting? You know, you can check in that way, or you can say, what feels like a homework assignment for you? That's a question I ask my clients a lot is, does this feel like I feel like there's a homework assignment in this. Tell me, is there, or am I wrong? What if you were going to give yourself a homework assignment, what would it be? Something like that. So, you know, we could ask Zamarit about that. We could have her just tell us what would she like to do. So that's just a way to go. But that's all, that usually falls out naturally and organically, you know, as you're having a conversation too. Does anybody have any questions about what they heard? Any other observations that you haven't had a chance to share yet? It can't possibly be that easy. Is anyone thinking that?
Well, this is Cindy. I would venture to say that when you're working with somebody that doesn't know what we know and isn't as perhaps as introspective or as verbal about things the way we tend to think out loud, it might be a little different, the experience.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
By the way, I thought, Robin, you did a great job. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that that could very well happen. I think that, you know, it goes back to, and I don't remember if it was you, Cindy, it was somebody on the call today, said that, oh, you know what I found so helpful about listening to the recording, the panel discussion, was this concept of, you know, where are you in your relationship with your client? So that's definitely going to come into play here in the sense that you may very well have a situation where your client doesn't feel like they're going to open up all that much. They're not ready to talk about that. It's all a question of feeling into what wants to happen. And I know that sounds woo-woo, but that's because it really is. You know, you're going to use your instinct to sense, is this a time to broach this? And if a client's really resistant or really just can't come up with anything, then maybe it's just time to let that seed be planted and walk away to the next, you know, the next row, to go continue with the analogy of planting and fields. Hard to know. You know, it's just like anything else. Don't get so invested in the tool or how the session has to turn out that you keep using a tool that the client's not ready for or doesn't want to talk about. So, and you guys know that already. But yes, Cindy, I think that could very well be the case. I think that's the case with virtually any of our tools. I often think that it's so much easier to coach a coach than it is to coach somebody else who hasn't been through the training. And yet every time I say that, I get surprised by having a difficult session coaching a coach. So, you know, I don't want to fall too hard on that little comfort cushion of, oh, this was easy because it was another coach. In this setting, maybe it was, but it's not always the case.
Can I follow up on that? It's Karen.
Yes, of course.
So on that same point, there was a moment super early on where I almost caught my breath because it felt so fast how all of a sudden we were at, you know, hiking is the beloved activity. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing was about California and maybe moving there. And I kind of had the thought Cindy had of if this is this is another person, as the conversation unfolded, it became clear that Samara is in the space, she's already been thinking about it and even living it for a while by visiting, right? But then I thought, if it's a client who this is the first time they're floating their wig, right, their wildly improbable goal, mm-hmm. I wondered if you could or anyone could say, so what would happen then if you get them to think about it for the first time? And I was thinking about that exercise about distinguishing the feeling state from the outcome, mm-hmm. and how to play with the idea of how does hiking make you feel or how does California make you feel. And Robin went there when she asked if there was any place in Toronto that could be like that. But I wonder, Chris, if you could say more about if someone was in the early stages and not really ready to contemplate a move, but more trying to understand what the goal represented, what would you do then?
I would do exactly what you described. I would have them go into the feeling state and what is it about hiking? You know, I have a client, I have coaching work, and I have clients who, here's an example. This is a really long-winded story. I'll try to make it short because I want to get another coaching session in. I had a client who, when she came to me, was working in a, you know, soul-sucking job in Manhattan, hated her job, hated everything about it. And when she came to me, she was desperate. And as we started working together, the only thing she could figure out was that she loved speaking French and she loved traveling to Paris. And how the hell was she going to ever make a living at doing that? And what was that? I can't go there. What? Wig? What? No. You know. It just, everything was about, I've got to make money, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to pay the bills, I can't quit my job, I can't, blah. And so we gently, and I'm talking, you want to talk turtle, this was 2 years in the making, okay, that's how turtly it was. We gently and quietly over time talked about, okay, how can you, if you love being in Paris, what do you love about Paris? I love croissants. Okay. So when was the last time you ate a croissant? And we started with, I'm going to have a croissant in the morning. And we went to, I love the French language. So do you speak it? Well, I speak a little. Okay. So how could we help you be around French speakers? Oh, well, she lived in Manhattan, for Pete's sake. Pretty damn easy, you know. You can find almost anything in Manhattan. You know, it's the city that never sleeps, for God's sake. There was just all sorts of things that we could come up with, from French societies, French film festivals, the Alliance Française. I mean, you name it. There was lots of different things that we did there. And she actually went on some there was a course, a sailing class that you could take on the Hudson River it was. And she ended up meeting a French couple on the boat in the sailing class. And they invited her to come to her house. And she started meeting French people all over the place. And it was hilarious. She kept saying, I do not understand how this is happening. I keep meeting French people. And I was like, yeah, I know. Because she was just articulating this idea that she loved Paris and she loved French. And meanwhile, she was still in her soul-sucking job, right? That was going on. But she was starting to look forward to her weekends where she would go boating or she'd meet the French couple at some French film festival, or she'd go to a French restaurant, or she'd eat a croissant. And again, I'm synopsizing 2 years in less than 5 minutes, you guys. But what ended up happening was she explored the possibility of transferring to her firm's Parisian office. She found out that they said she's got to speak really much, much, much better business French than she does. And she was like, oh, crap, this is never going to happen. See, I knew it wouldn't work. Okay, hold on. And so we looked for business immersion programs because God knows there are loads of business people out there who get transferred to other countries and need to learn how to speak the language. Sure enough, in France, in the south of France, no less, she ended up renting an apartment for 3 months, taking a business immersion class. She did a short stint. It was only like a six-week project, but she did a short stint in the Paris office. She rented an apartment in Paris for 6 months. She took and again, I'm telling the story a little backwards, but she did all of these things in various points. And she spent Christmas and New Year's in Paris, which is something she always wanted to do in her own place. And did I mention there was a tiny, tiny, if you leaned over the balcony really hard and held on really tight, little tip of the Eiffel Tower could be seen from her apartment. And, you know, is she still in her corporate soul-sucking job? She's not in the same one she was in. And did we start talking about clothing design? Because she's always loved clothing and high-end luxury goods. Well, she ended up getting a job working as an operations officer for a clothing company. And, you know, again, this has many circuitous sideline stories here. But my point in all of this is to tell you, meet the client where they are. Mm-hmm. I love French. Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, let's explore all things French.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for that.
No, and could I have told you all that was going to happen? Not on your life. But like Martha said, I dreamt about this ranch. Okay, so she wore a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. And she didn't throw that in to be fluffy. She really did that because it made her feel ranchy. It gave her the feeling. I love France. I love the croissants. I love fresh, hot, buttery croissants when I turn the corner and there's a boulangerie and a, you know, pâtisserie on every corner in Paris. I want a croissant. All right, so eat one. And maybe it won't be as gorgeous as they are in Paris, but just start somewhere. You defrost your dreams that way. And there's an exercise called Defrosting Your Dreams and Finding Your Own North Star, by the way. And you have a supplemental additional tools guide at the back of your binder that separates things out by squares. And in there is more information about tools that are related to the kinds of things we're talking about here. They're all ways to help a client just start imagining a tiny little bit. Just, you know, yes, Robin and Zamaret's session went lightning fast, to your point. And would it go that fast with every client? Probably not, and that's okay. Sometimes you just eat a croissant.
Thank you. That's great.
Okay.
This is Jody, and if I can make a quick comment just as a listening and observing, hearing Zamaret and also hearing about your client in Manhattan, how, you know, at the very least, we are holding people's dreams with them. And I think that our dreams are, well, first of all, that takes a lot of vulnerability. And I feel really honored that Zamaret would share something out loud with us that she's never said out loud before. And I just noticed like how Robin made a container for that, to hold that with her. And that in itself, I think, is a very powerful to do for people. And I think when we start saying things out loud, it does put things in motion somehow. So it's, you know, even if we forget the tool, I think just holding that with someone is really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully said, Jody. It really is about creating a space in which a client can become more of themselves. And honoring what sounds like a ridiculous notion. I'm going to live in Paris and I'm going to celebrate Christmas there and I'm going to have a job and, you know, what? Really? How's that going to happen? Well, one tiny little step at a time. When you hold a dream with a client, you know, And what you're also going to notice in here is there's going to be some thoughts that fly around. If we wanted to, we could probably find some thoughts around, I'll never make that happen. It's going to be too expensive. I'll lose clients. I'm never going to succeed. It's going to take too long. I should just go on vacation. It's too hard to do all the research. You know, there may be some thought work that needs to happen in there. And there may be some noticing of the client's conative style. You know, somebody was asking in one of the discussions, it might have been the evening group, I don't remember, but somebody was saying, oh, you know what, how do you bring conative style back into all of this? And here's an example. Our client gave us a little bit of a clue in that she said, oh, I don't really love doing research, so maybe that's what's held me back. Good to know. And that doesn't mean you're going to ram research down her throat and insist that she does all kinds of homework on that. But it just means like, oh, so how is that stopping you? Is it helping you, this belief that research is too hard? Or, you know, you just poke around with it. You honor a client's conative style, and you honor the fact that that style might be giving them a little bit of a hindrance at the moment, and it might be helpful if they could summon a little of the energy that's at least temporarily that's just been, you know, hindering them for a while. So that's where conation can come into another way that some of these things all start to piece together. I've been talking a lot again. What else can I answer? And then let's really try and get at least one more conversation in before we end the call. Take one more question right now. Good for the moment?
I have one quick question. Robin, it sounded like you had a list of questions in the beginning. Where did you make those up, or did you find them somewhere?
Yeah, actually, I kind of took them from different places, and they just felt right. And so for me, yeah, I took them, I think it was from a little bit, I mean, Whizzing on the Fence. All the, I love Whizzing on the Fence, by the way. I love that one. So.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. You'll come up with your own questions as time goes on. They'll start to feel more natural. You'll find out which ones seem to land with your clients, and some will land with some clients and some will land with others. But they'll come. And you have a ton of them between all the different tools that you'll find in finding your own North Star and Starlight in particular. So, all right, let's pair up one more dyad and let's see if we can at least get a conversation started around wigs and or finding the feeling. Who would like to coach and who would like to be the client? Let's see, who's on the call who hasn't coached yet?
Chris is a Silka. I haven't coached yet.
All right, you want to coach?
No, not really, but I...
But you chimed in, so you'll do it anyway, I'm thinking?
Yes.
Tell me
yes,
where I'm wrong?
Right. Yes, that sounds right. Good hint.
Okay. Who would like to be coached by Silke? Cindy, you mentioned that you were volunteering to do either. Would you like to be the client?
Sure, why not?
Okay. So this is going to be a shorter session. It might not flow as, you know, completely as the last one did, but let's see what wants to happen.
Yeah. All right. Cindy, thank you for stepping up. Thank you for letting me.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah. So how can I support you? What's going on?
What's going on? Well, let's see. I had a long week last week and had a wonderful weekend, but I'm sort of now, after keeping myself sort of using all the tools in my arsenal, I now am finding that the exhaustion is catching up to me. Just a little background. My husband had a stroke last week, and so it put me in a place that I have never been before, neither has he. So he's doing really well, and we are all as a family doing well. And I have said to the people I coach with many times last week that, you know, there's someone else living in this body, because I'm reacting and responding in a way that is completely outside of the norm for me, and it was wonderful. It was really great. So I'm very grateful to this program and everybody I know that's in it. But that being said, this week, my daughter's bridal shower was this past weekend also. So right now what I'm trying to do is come back into my world. So that's where I'm right now.
Yeah. And I hear there was exhaustion, not surprisingly, with all that has been going on. What would you then like to create now that you're coming back into your world?
What would I like to create? I want to create some space for myself so I can regroup. That's what I'd like.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful with me. create some space for yourself so that you can regroup. And what does it mean to regroup? Say more about that, please.
For me, regrouping means that I take the time to meditate. I take the time to read what I feel comfortable and what I need to read. Take the time to speak to the people I need to speak with. And I understand, I mean, last week I did what I needed to do and I was very present in a way I needed to be. And now I need to focus, take a little bit of that focus and put it in a different direction. So that's what I need to do. And,
okay. That sounds pretty clear what you need to do. Cindy, when you're able to take time out for you, create space for yourself so that you can do your meditation and speak to the people that you can speak with, what is that giving you? What feeling is that giving you?
What does that give me? It gives me, it plugs me into what is, you know? It makes me, it allows me to just let the world go on and I just have to be in it. And that's the best way I feel. It also sends a signal to me that I'm important and it's worth it for me to take the time to take care of myself. And that's really big for me. You know,
it's very
easy to ignore what I need and take care of other people. And so for me, taking that time to really take a moment to stop, moving, is really good.
So what I'm hearing too is slowing down time, or you can slow down if you slow down time. Is there something? And tell me where I'm wrong.
That's true. I mean, it's like, for example, we were going to New York Saturday to go, my husband went with me and we were, going down there for my daughter's bridal shower. And I took the time prior to going to do some yoga nidra for about an hour. And that did what I needed to do. I felt well rested. I could move forward. So it's taking the moment to stop and recognize what I need and then doing it. So
I'm so curious, Cindy, what feeling does it give you when you stop, when you check in with, you know, the last time or you took that rest so that you could move forward? What does it give you? What feeling, what do you experience in your body that's really important to you?
Can you hold on just one moment, please?
Yeah.
Okay. What do I experience in my body? I feel a sense of lightness. I feel like my body and my mind are moving at the same pace.
Right.
If that makes any sense. It's synced.
Okay.
It's like, you know, sometimes you watch something and the voice isn't coming out with the lips. It's not synced correctly. I feel synced. I feel integrated.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with me. So now I'm curious, in order to create space for yourself so that you can regroup, what total step, what can you do today in order to start creating that, to move towards that?
I think being on the phone with you right now is you know how they say there are no accidents, is not an accident. And so I think that I think being here and saying out loud what I need is really important for me, you know. And I think that when Chris did that visual of all of us sitting in the circle together. I needed to know that, you know, just because I wasn't here last week, I was still part of the tribe. And I needed to feel that connection.
Yeah. And also, and tell me please where I'm wrong. And also just acknowledging how much has been going on and how you have been there present for your husband, and the exhaustion that you were experienced. That is incredible what all went on and how you did. And now you can experience yourself being part of this tribe and know your space is here in the circle while standing shoulder to shoulder and creating space for yourself right now and here in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, all of those, that whole process, what you just said is very accurate. That is what happened. And in the midst of all of that, what any other time in my life prior to this would have been a crisis, it was not a crisis. It was something that was happening. And that's very, very different for me. And what I realized also is that the exhaustion is also just physical exhaustion from lack of sleep or, you know, sleeping in a chair or whatever, and that it's not for me, you know, creating drama or not being in the moment. So I think that's I'm okay with the physical exhaustion, you know. But, I think that's what you said, Gore, the synopsis of what was going on is very accurate.
Yeah. So, speaking about regrouping and creating space for yourself, I still would like to hear a little bit more of a concrete way of that you really can honoring that for yourself. What it is that you might really be able to do considering your day and your responsibilities, that you also can create space for yourself so that you can regroup, because when you regroup, then you can be rested and move forward at the same time with your body and mind and feel synchronized. And it sounds like so important because it allows you to be present and not create drama, but just do whatever needs to be done. So I'm really curious, Cindy, to bring that more for you into reality, what it is that you can do to regroup, to create space for yourself, to slow down.
Well, I usually do yoga every morning, and I haven't made that space for many reasons over the last week to do that, and it's something I miss, and it's something that I need to do for myself because it's important, and it makes me feel good, you know. It's a great way for me. It's a good way for me to begin my day.
Are you able to? Go ahead. No, I didn't want the yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the yoga. I am very fortunate. The people I work with in this group have all responded to my, we've all set up times with everybody to coach this week, which I'm very grateful for. I find that just connecting with those people who have come to know me very well through this process is really, really helpful. And like I said, it feels like, you know, I get a really big hug through the phone, and very grateful for that. So, so that's the other thing that I can do. And the other piece is playing. I need to play. And so I have tried to sort of wire that into my week as well. It's something I can forget to do, and I have to, and I'm often reminded by the people who know me that that's something I need to do. So, I have a lot. I have a lot to play about right now. A lot of good things. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing too is what's important to you now, speaking about the tribe and speaking about talking to people, is really a connection. It sounds like a value to you.
Yes. Very much.
And so, are you able to go back to yoga class tomorrow?
I'm sorry, to my what?
Are you able to go back to your yoga class tomorrow morning?
My yoga?
Yeah.
Is that, yes, you're saying? Yes, actually, I do my yoga at home. I don't go to a class.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can do that. And now that I've said it out loud, probably will do it, yeah.
Maybe you can even send a note to the guidance to let everybody know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's definitely something I can commit to doing.
Nice.
And
it's
a good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. And if you post tomorrow morning after yoga and tell us how you feel, then it also forces a connection with the tribe at large.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's very true. Yes. It's a good idea. Thank you.
What about praying? How can you bring that more into manifestation? Is there a reminder?
I'm sorry, is there what?
Can you create a reminder for yourself? Maybe like a little metaphor or a stone or something that will remind you to pray during the week and during your days?
Well, for me, that's something I sort of do spontaneously. I mean, that's just a part of my day, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at looking around and seeing what I'm grateful for. And I mean, that's one of the things that, I mean, I'm amazed at how much I've learned and how much all of those, I mean, you know, again, there are no accidents. All of the stuff that I've been learning and all of the experiences have not been for naught. They have definitely been, they happened just at the right time when I was going to need them. So I'm really grateful to have them. And so that doesn't leave me. You know, I was sitting at my daughter's shower, and I'm looking around, and here are these 20 women, and I'm looking at all of them, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I love everybody in this room. That doesn't happen very often, you know, especially when you're with family and friends, and it was just really nice. So
I just get chills. While you're talking, I just get chills, and I have a lot of appreciation. I use appreciation a lot during the day, and I never made the connection that that's actually a form of prayer.
Mm.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you.
How do you feel? What do you need to feel complete at this moment?
I think that what I'd like to do is I'd like to tell you what I'm going to do, and then thank you. I think I am definitely going to do yoga tomorrow morning, and I will post to let everybody know that I've done it, and not because, you know, it's my homework, but mostly because I want to let you know that, to thank you for doing this with me, and also because it will help me, and and to just be aware of to take a moment and acknowledge the things I am doing for myself, because I tend to just do them and not give myself a pat on the back for having the wherewithal to do them. So, but thank you very much.
And I will be, thank you, Cindy, to you so much. And I will be traveling tomorrow. So I will be on the plane for almost 12 hours, and I don't know when I will have internet connection again. So my response might come a little bit later.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. That's not a problem. But you are here right now, and that's the piece that is very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Nice job, you two. And what I loved that was there was a lot of things I loved that were demonstrated there, but the first one that occurred to me was early on in the process when our client said, my husband had a stroke, and there was Zilke, who, you know, was tasked with talking about wildly improbable goals and feeling states, and yet a very, very real situation was going on in our client's life, and she was exhausted. And you might go, oh, crap, I feel so forced to sit here and talk about feeling states and, excuse me, I'm going to take a sip of water. Feeling states and artificially talking about wildly improbable goals. And yet what happened with Silke was she just met Cindy where she was.
Yes.
And yet when you really look at what happened there, she talked about a feeling state with Cindy. She talked about how a feeling state could work with Cindy in the middle of this very important situation. And it all flowed. And it didn't look like, you know, moving to Paris, which we talked about right before we, you know, we started this coaching conversation. And it didn't talk about moving to California. And it didn't sound, oh, so wildly improbable. And yet to somebody who's been in the midst of a family emergency and dealt with all sorts of things that she didn't go into a lot of detail with, but which we could probably imagine, there was still something that was able to shift in our client, because having some moments for herself might have felt pretty damn wildly improbable to her.
Yes.
So, you know, you never know what you're going to meet when you meet with a client. You never know what's going to be present in them and in you. And yet, the tools can unfold beautifully, and they can modify, and they can be abandoned for something better, and they can shift and accommodate and all that good stuff. And so can we as coaches. And so it was demonstrated. And what I love too was Zilke also managed to even remind Cindy, and one of the things that you said at the beginning of this call was that you wanted to feel more connected to this group. So let's look at how we can accomplish that.
Yes.
Right. So there were some beautiful tie-ins there. And I think, you know, kind of to go back to something that Jody had said earlier, where she was talking about how a client becoming vulnerable enough to share their dreams with you, or to voice something that maybe they've never given voice to before, or at least if they have, maybe they weren't met with such, you know, positivity. You know, same kind of thing here, in the sense that we are holding space for our client. We are helping to tie some pieces together for them that maybe they can't see right now on their own. And so that, to me, is sacred work. It is an absolute joy and an honor to do it, and I love watching all of you do it, too. It just, I don't know, I have goosebumps. So before we wrap up, I just want to check in with all of you. We're at the end of Coach the Coach 3. You're going to dive into a couple of business classes before we meet again. I'm actually going to be the instructor on May 2nd, along with Jill, for setting up shop, so I might see some of you if you're in Section 2. But how can I answer questions or help with wrapping up Coach the Coach 3? What needs talking about, if anything? You're good. You're just wiggling your shoulders and your hips and your toes, feeling your neighbors. Warming your feet.
Well, I just want to thank you for all that you've brought to this class and all that I've learned from you. I'm so appreciative of that.
Well, thank you, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, and I don't take it lightly. So thank you for noticing. I really appreciate that.
Ditto. Chris, from all of us.
Chris. This is Jen. First, I wanted to just say thank you for being such an awesome teacher. And I wanted to just follow up on, I know we did a dream analysis for me in the beginning of this practicum, and I had a seven-league boots meditation happen, and I met a horse that gave me this brass ring, and that was kind of what happened on my thing. And I started to sort of do things that I wanted to do, and one of the things I wanted to do, I want to be an equus coach. And I thought, how am I going to get closer to horses? Because I don't have a horse. And I went this past week. I started volunteering at this place called Access Equestrian, which helps disabled children and children with like autism and you know, anywhere on the spectrum just have equine experiences and through adaptive riding. And I walked into the barn and met the horse that was in my meditation. So just wanted to tell everyone that that was just like, whoa.
I love it. Oh, just that. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you were listening to an Equus coach in training do some work this today. Zilke is very much part of all of that, so she can share more with you if you want to talk to her about her experience and connect with her offline.
Are you in the Coel training or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to be in that.
And I've gone through the Coel training as well, and I'm still in training. I'm still, you know, doing all the things I need to do to meet the requirements for my certification. So, yeah.
Wow.
You are in good company, as they say.
That's awesome. I definitely wanted to get in on this this last class, but it wasn't going to work. Too many things going on. So next session, I'm going to apply.
Cool. Cool. Congratulations. And for now, you've met your horse.
I've met my horse.
Beautiful.
That's wonderful. Anybody else? Thank you for following up with us on that. That's just amazing. I love hearing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else before we close out our circle? All right. Well, thank you, everyone. As I said, I will be with some of you again of Section 2 on May 2nd. And let's see. I'm also going to be with you for Lizard Lounge in June and probably on a Martha call in there as well. So you'll hear my voice again. You'll experience me down the road. And in the meanwhile, I will, of course, watch the discussion threads here on the Learning Space, and I am happy to help however I can. And it was a blast working with all of you, and I had so much fun. And I love, love, love watching how everything is evolving with you all in your coaching abilities and desires and practices. So congratulations, and I'll see you again down the road. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.